Last week, I introduced the third section of this document by introducing the third of our core values. The core values of our church are missional living, is the third one. And among the emphasis that we're making, I shared with you last week about the importance of small groups. I hope you got it. I hope you got that it wasn't just a message about go to Sunday school. I hope that you got that it wasn't just a message about changing the name from Sunday school to small groups. I hope you get that the idea is about building relationships. The concept that we're proposing is something that is clearly defined in Scripture that reminds us of the necessity of being connected to one another. And so you see all of these one another statements throughout the New Testament and the church that remind us of the value, importance, significance, and necessity of relationships. That's what small groups are about. They're about building relationships. They're about establishing the kind of meaningful ministry-related relationships that are going to not only spur us on to love and good deeds, but also are going to help us to grow in a maturing faith. Today, I conclude with an emphasis on ministry and service. Missional living involves so much, but it is essentially the outgrowth of spiritual formation. It is founded on the truth of God's word. But being missional in our lives means that we are living lives of obedience to God in very specific ways that give the evidence of the transforming work of God within. Now, this most often takes the form of ministry involvement through the local church. Now, is it possible to be involved in ministry apart from the local church? I certainly hope so. I would hope that every believer recognizes that God has called us to be in ministry in some form or another as an extension and an expression of what Christ has done in us. But that does not mean that it should ever be to the exclusion of what he is doing through the church. And the church becomes the primary means by which Christ has empowered people on this earth until he comes again to carry out the purpose for which he came in the first place. And so we have to realize and we must see that the church is the continuing extension of the ministry of Christ. Therefore, what we do as a church must include ministry. Now, I've got to hasten to say, and to all of you who've taken my 101 class, you know that I say it there. This is, in my opinion, one of our greatest weaknesses. It is one of my personal greatest weaknesses. It is the church, Temple Baptist Church, particularly our greatest weakness. It is not easy for a person to come to Temple Baptist Church to experience the love and power and transforming work of the Spirit of Christ within, to make a commitment to become a follower of Jesus, to identify one's life through baptism, and then find a place where they fit in to a ministry role. It's not easy. The first part of it, yeah, we can help you with that, and we can celebrate it, and we will do a good job with that. But that last part, that continuing part, that fitting in, that part isn't easy. And the reason it's not easy is because we aren't well organized for that. We have standard things that we do, and that's enough, and that's what we're satisfied with, and that's what we encourage people to do. People come to me and they'll say, you know, I'm excited about my relationship with Jesus. What can I do? How can I get involved? Well, have you been coming to Sunday school? Yes. Well, there you go. Do you come to worship service? Well, yes. Great. Sounds like you're pretty involved. But it's not involved. Coming to Sunday school, coming to church, being a part of those things, that's not ministry involvement. That's ministry you're receiving. That doesn't have anything to do with ministry you're doing. Even unless you're teaching in those situations or unless you're encouraging someone else, that's not a ministry expression for the majority of people who attend church on Sunday morning. Now, there are a lot of things that we can do and a lot of ministries you can be a part of. You can work in the nursery. You can help provide care to our children. You can teach Sunday school classes of all age groups. You can sing on the praise team. You can be in the choir. You can be an usher. You can be a greeter. You can do all of these different things. These are ways that you can be a part of ministry that goes on Sunday morning. But still, the majority of people won't be. And yet will walk away feeling like they were. Ministry has to be something that is the expression and extension of who Christ has called you to be, made you to be in a particular way beyond the limitations of what we do in our large group settings, even our smaller group settings at church. It has to be more than that. So what is ministry and service? Ephesians 4:12, we've used Ephesians 4. It is the foundational passage that is in our documents, and so that's why we've used it so much. But in verse 12, it says, after he said he's given some for the preaching and teaching of the word, he says in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. The object of what we're doing right now is the equipping process, or the process that we're doing right now is equipping people with the tools and the information and the experience and the maturity that is necessary for the object to be fulfilled, which is the work of ministry. Doing the work of ministry. Most of the formal ministries of the church are detailed in the job descriptions for the directors of those ministries. When you pick up that document this morning, you'll see a lot of the different ministries. However, there are many others that are not mentioned, but certainly no less important. Things like mission trips and all kinds of crisis ministry that we participate in based on the need of that particular moment. Just to name a couple of them, will not have to take place in a primary document or won't have an expression there, and yet are no less a ministry of the church. We've got to do a better job of helping people to find their way from simply being a spectator to becoming a participant, and that means getting involved in ministry. James says that if we are not going to demonstrate our faith by works, that is the ministry and service that we do, then essentially there is no practical expression of faith, and that faith, he says, is useless and dead. And if you look across the nation today, you will find church buildings filled with people that are ministerially useless and dead. We can't be that way. We cannot be that way. We cannot make an environment here at Temple Baptist Church where it is comfortable for people to become a part of the kingdom of God, to be followers of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Comfortable to be a part of something that is so connected to someone that is so vitally significant and do absolutely nothing. We can't. We have to ask ourselves repeatedly, what am I here for and how can you use me, God? And what can I do to be obedient to you in service to others? And until we get to the point where we are helping people to make that transition from a commitment to Christ to an active, involved place in ministry through the local church, we're failing and people aren't growing. So what is it about ministry and service that we can learn that can help us? Don Whitney, again, is of great help in his book entitled Spiritual Disciplines Within the Church. He says several things, but among them, he says that ministry or service is important because it makes us more like Jesus. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Or do you want Jesus to be more like you? It would be easier if Jesus would be more like me, would it? No, it would be for me. It would be a lot easier for me. But if I recall correctly my Old Testament, thou shalt have no other gods before me, including me. And maybe especially me. Ministry makes us more like Jesus. Listen to this passage in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Luke 22, verse 27 also speaks to this very issue. It says, for who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? That's what everybody else thinks. He said, but I am among you as one who serves. Service and ministry makes us more like Jesus, and it requires several things in order to be functional in our lives and practical in the transforming work that God is doing in us. Service demonstrates humility. It is so important because it demonstrates humility. You're not going to serve the way Jesus did. You're not going to give the way Jesus did. You're not going to sacrifice the way Jesus did. And therefore, your service is never going to make you like Jesus without humility. If we do service in the arrogance and pride of our own ability and control, then we are not becoming more like Jesus. We are making Jesus more like us. And we are simply co-opting his name for our own welfare and benefit. It is about us becoming like him. And so service and ministry that is done in the same way that Jesus did it will make us more like Jesus, but it will absolutely require humility. Service and ministry, secondly, requires a personal commitment of faith. If we're going to be like Jesus, we've got to be committed in faith to following Jesus. That means that we've got to be committed in faith to sharing Jesus. That means we've got to be committed in faith to living like Jesus. That means that we have to be committed in faith to not only living like Jesus, but being sanctified and set apart by Jesus and obedient to Jesus. You name it, that list could go on and it could become a sermon series in and of itself in that one simple statement. But ministry essentially makes us more like Jesus because it requires of us a personal commitment of faith to him. Not a general corporate expression, but a personal commitment. Until I say to Jesus, yes, I will go where you send me. I will say what you tell me. I will do what you have called me. Until we do that, we're not like Jesus. But when we do that, oh my goodness. Look at what happens. Ministry that makes us more like Jesus is focused on others. Jesus did not spend his time focused on himself. He spent his time doing the will of the Father by extending the kingdom to those around him. How much of what we do, in fact, how much of what we even express concern for, sometimes almost arrogantly with a spiritual flair to it, doesn't have anything to do with what Jesus is doing at all. It has everything to do with what we think or want or desire. Back to making God in our image rather than God making us in his. It is a difficult thing, and I acknowledge that, and I willingly embrace the struggle with you because we're in it together. But these principles are undeniable. It is undeniable that ministry makes us more like Jesus. And the more like him we become, the more servant-minded, the more ministry-focused we need to be. The church, if it is to be a church that follows Christ, must do so through its expression of ministry in the way that he did it and the kinds of ministries that he did that make us more like him. Secondly, service and ministry brings glory to God. Not only does it make us more like Jesus, but it brings glory to God. You remember our primary statement that is our purpose statement. It is our mission statement. We believe Temple Baptist Church exists for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to what 1 Peter 4 verses 10 and 11 say. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is a powerful statement that Peter offers us, and he takes all of the spiritual gifts and he reduces them down to two categories. He reduces them down to speaking gifts and service gifts. And he says, if you are gifted to speak, then do it as though you were speaking the very words of God. If you are gifted to serve, then do it as you are serving God himself. But the bottom line is we need to combine together in order to do this. And as we do, he said, we bring glory to God. And God alone is worthy to receive glory. He says, whoever speaks and whoever serves, do so by the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified. I want you to see this as a standard by which we can measure our lives, a standard by which we can measure the ministry of our church, a standard by which we can decide everything that we're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Will this ultimately lead to an expression of service that makes me more like Jesus, that identifies me more clearly with Jesus and ultimately brings glory to God? Is it going to produce an obedience that brings glory to God? If not, don't do it. If so, then don't let anything prevent you from doing it. Service brings glory to God, and we discover that God is glorified through our obedience to love and care for one another. God is glorified through our obedience to love and care for one another. I love the study, and we haven't done it in a long time, on experiencing God. Many of you have been through that, or you've read that book, and it's just one of the best studies ever. But it's all about how we experience God. And you go through all of these steps. There's all of these things that we don't even take note of. And then when we come up to the moment where we face our crisis of belief, that moment where we know what God wants, we know what he has called us to do, and now we simply have to decide whether or not we're going to do it. We are standing there on that precipice, standing there on that very brink of an experience with God, of something that is going to affirm our identity in Christ, something that is going to affirm our willingness and submission to the purpose and call of God on our lives. And we stand there in that moment, empty and devoid of anything that would be powerful enough to move us. And we do not have that experience while we stand on the brink. The experience comes when we take the step of faith through obedience. The one thing that I learned out of that whole study that I have returned to so many times that I couldn't even begin to count them is that you can never experience God apart from your own personal obedience to God. Obedience is service. Service will not come, ministry will not occur, and God will not be glorified without our obedience to his will and word. God is glorified by the gospel testimony demonstrated through faithful service. Sometimes faithful service is the best demonstration of the gospel. We said through lives transformed by the gospel. Maybe it's not the telling of the gospel that people are going to hear the loudest. Maybe it is the seeing of the gospel. Maybe it is when they see you caring for one another, or when they see you ministering to the people around you, or when they see you. One of the best examples that I have experienced in recent memory was when we went down to Busch Stadium. I went with the group, and there were people from our church that went repeatedly. I only went once, but went down there to feed the homeless. Now, most of the guys who came up to our people, there was a couple of females in the group as well. Most of them were either inebriated, or they were on drugs, or there was something else going on in their lives. And so, I mean, that's just how it was. And so we're down there. We set up our place. We start cooking. Craig's over here grilling hot dogs and hamburgers so fast that he can't keep up. And people just show up. I mean, they just come off the street. From everywhere and gather around, and they hang out with us. And the most interesting thing that happened wasn't with one of the homeless people. I had moved away from the group and taken a hot dog over to a guy and a girl that was with him, and she was just completely wasted. I mean, she couldn't even stand up. And so I took him some food. I took her some water. I sat with him for a minute. He even asked me, he said, would you pray with us? And I said, sure, I'll pray with you. Knowing that there's not a chance he's going to remember my face, my name, or what I prayed whenever this is over for them. But that's what I did. Walked back over and had gone a little beyond our little circle there, and a guy's walking by on his way to the ball game. He says, y'all selling hot dogs? I said, no, we're not. He said, tailgating? I said, no. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, we came down and we're cooking food for the homeless people who live down here. He said, why? I said, well, there's a passage in the Bible. And he said, oh, one of those. I said, yeah, but I said, give me a second. I am one of those, but give me a second. I said, there's a passage in the Bible where Jesus said, in as much as you have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. I said, we came down here not to change homeless people into upstanding citizens and tax-paying contributors to society. I said, we came down here because the God who changed us has the power to change them, but whether he does or doesn't, he told us to love them. And we didn't know how to tell them. And we knew that if we just said it, it wouldn't be very helpful. And so we came down here and we give them something to eat because that's something they understand. They're hungry. He said, well, good for you. He said, that's a good thing to do. He said, your church must be a lot of good people. I said, no, there's a few good people. I said, do you want names? I said, you have no idea. I said, it is a great church. And I said, they're not good people. I said, they're bad people that have been changed by a good God. He said, well, game's about to start. Got to go. I get that. The most significant thing that happened to me didn't happen in my interaction with the homeless people. It happened through the observation of a normal person. Sometimes the best testimony we give is the way we minister to those around us. God is glorified. His lives are changed through the power of the Spirit expressed through the service of the church. No one who gets involved in actual ministry and service for the glory of God remains unchanged. There's no way that you can serve or minister to somebody else and stay the same. It has a transforming impact in your life that produces a change. Why is ministry so important? The same reason that doing anything is important. If you just hear about it or read about it or watch somebody else do it, it's meaningless to you until you do it yourself. And then you've got to do it repeatedly to get good at it. And you've got to keep building on that. And the more you get good at it, the more it expands for you and the more people see you do it. And now you can start to teach others how to do it as well. And so ministry is an exponentially growing kind of experience that always brings glory to God through that exponential growth. And so it is one of the best ways that we express a testimony, but it is also one of the primary things that God uses to change us. You can't serve and give and be unchanged. You can't go to church and be unchanged. You can't serve and minister and be unchanged. It's not possible. So service brings glory to God. Third, service affirms our salvation. This is a really interesting verse from Malachi 3:18. And I'm taking it, I think, just a little bit of a distance away from probably its original intent, but it seems to fit very well, even in the context. Listen to what he says. He says, then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. There is a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. And the distinction is the righteous serve God and the wicked do not serve him. Now, I'm using service in terms of practical ministry application. Malachi was using service in terms of the worship of God, the commitment to God. But it is still the same context. You see that with a worship commitment to God and with a recognition of God as the one true God and the God of our lives and a commitment to following Him, when we do that, that is automatically going to produce some type of ministry expression. It's not possible for us to remain indifferent to the world around us and be closely connected to the God who has changed us. And so Malachi is saying that your salvation is affirmed through this ministry. When you eschew ministry and service, and when you refuse to be involved in what God is doing beyond the limitations of simply attending a service that's basically all about you, you need to be concerned about your spiritual well-being. If you have no heart for the lost, if you have no concern for those who are hurting, if you feel no compulsion to do something as an expression or extension of who you are, because God puts a spiritual gift in the heart of every person who is born again. And if you don't feel that, and if you are not drawn to that, and if you are not convicted by that, then you're probably lost. Ministry provides assurance. But it also brings conviction. You say, well, you're not here to judge me. No, not really. But kind of. We are accountable to each other, aren't we? I mean, you're judging me right now, aren't you? Is there ever a moment that you do not gaze upon your pastor thinking to yourself, is he consistent with what he says? Does he represent us in the world by the principles of Christ and the standards of Scripture? Is he the person that should lead us in our spiritual growth and development? Does he have the authority to speak the words that he speaks? And is there consistency between what he says and who he is and what he does? You judge me all the time, and rightfully so. Let me tell you something. If you judge me, the world, the lost world, is judging you. But it won't mean anything unless you are willing to look deeply at your own heart. A lack of concern for ministry is a huge, gaping flaw. We need to be concerned about it. And you need to seek God to clarify that. Service affirms salvation. Nothing will strengthen, just as the absence causes you to doubt, nothing will strengthen your salvation as much as being involved in sharing it and demonstrating it and expressing it. Service, number four, expresses love for God. Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do." This is a great verse of Scripture. God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name. The love for the name of God that is demonstrated through service to others. Service expresses our love for God. Now, conversely, I think that the absence of service also expresses an absence of love for God. That is equally true. But it is of a greater concern that we need to focus on the positive aspects of this. In order for us to do that, you need to see that God is leading us in such a way that everything that we do is either going to demonstrate love for Him or indifference to Him. Service expresses love for God. And fifth, service pleases God. Is God pleased with you? Most people would say, I hope so. There's a lot of hoping, meaning probably not, but maybe, I don't know. A lot of insecurity. I don't know how to deal with this business of insecurity efficiently, and so I probably won't right now, but let me just mention it. I think one of the reasons that people shy away from ministry and service is because they're not sure of themselves. Well, let me say to those of us who seem to be sure of ourselves and those who are obviously not, let me say to us all together that you don't need to be sure of yourself. In fact, when you become sure of yourself, you're probably a liability to the kingdom of God. So don't be sure of yourself. And God knows, and you do too, that self-confidence has never been one of my weaknesses. It would be more a liability than it is a weakness. I have the confidence in myself that gets me in trouble all the time. So you know that. But let me say, that's not the issue. I'm not concerned about whether or not, you know, your self-esteem has been properly massaged or whether or not your self-image has been properly shaped. That's not my point. And when I talk about self-confidence, that's not my point either. I'm talking about just confidence. Whatever I exude in leadership role that makes you think that I feel sure of myself, let me tell you that it pales in comparison to the confidence that surges through my frame when I experience the power of God and His Spirit working within. Because God does through me what I can never do on my own. And while God is doing through me what I cannot do on my own, He does to me that which I need most of all. And it brings humility and it brings an awareness that this is not about me, it is about Him. But it is also not just that's its purpose, but that's also its function. It's about Him working through us. Ministry and service is the means by which God works through us. Service pleases God. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This gives us confidence to know that we have pleased the Father. This last point is a reminder to us that what we do in ministry and service not only affirms who we are in our relationship with Christ, but it also brings pleasure to God. And if God is pleased, do you think you'll be happy too? Sure. Sure. Pleasing God is such a vital part of building into us the affirming process that leads us to even more and more of what He's called us to. I conclude with this verse, Galatians 6:10. It says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Can there be any question at all that God has called us to ministry and service? Certainly not. The only question is, how will we get that done? How will we help others to become engaged in it? And what sort of focus will that be for us? Will it be secondary? Or will it be primary? It needs to be primary. When we focus on Jesus, we will automatically, ultimately, always focus on ministry.